KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, it's 24 degrees in Atlantic. We look for some areas of fog this morning, otherwise partly to mostly cloudy skies, and a high of 32 with winds north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Topping local news, a fire that was reported in Atlantic early this morning is apparently a case of attempted arson. Atlantic firefighters were called to the former Elks Lodge a little after 4 a.m. Fire Chief Tom Keppel.
Well, we were called out about 4:08 this morning here to 501 Poplar. It's apartment one downstairs in the basement. It looks like at this point that we had somebody break in and try to start a fire downstairs. And at this point, we're just trying to figure out what's going on, and I think we've figured out what started it, and we're going to be looking further into this. We'll be getting a hold of the state fire marshal's office first thing in the morning. It is under investigation. It was obviously lit. It was lit with fuel. At this time, we're just trying to gather all the information and put everything together. We're working with the PD, and we'll get the state fire marshal's office here and try to get figured out what happened.
The caller who reported the fire told dispatch someone had broken into her home and started the fire on a carpet and that it appeared to be spreading fast. The alleged suspect was described as wearing all black when law enforcement on the scene reported smoke in the basement and alarms going off in the basement, second and third floors. Atlantic Fire reported no flames showing from the exterior of the brick building when they arrived. The fire was out within a few minutes, by 4:14, in fact. Capel said there was minimal damage inside the apartment. It's unclear how many persons were occupying that structure. There were no injuries reported. Efforts were being made this morning to find temporary housing for the displaced residents. A Red Oak man was arrested last night following a traffic stop. Red Oak police report 24-year-old Kyle Andrew Nicholson was taken into custody for OWI First Defense at around 10 p.m. at the 800 block of East Ratliff Road. He was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $1,000 bond. Officials of the Cass County Sheriff's Office are warning Social Security scams are making the rounds once again. Someone should call, often with a foreign-sounding voice, claiming your Social Security number has been stolen or used illegally. You should request more information, then hang up and call Social Security if you're in any doubt. The U.S. Inspector General's Office said using robocalls or live callers, fraudsters pretend to be government employees and claim there is identity theft or another problem with one's Social Security number, account, or benefits. They may threaten arrest or other legal action, or may offer to increase benefits, protect assets, and resolve identity theft. They also often demand payment by a retail gift card, cash, wire transfer, internet currency such as Bitcoin, or prepaid debit card. Social Security, you should remember, will never threaten you with arrest or other legal action unless you immediately pay a fee or fine. They will never promise a benefit increase or other assistance in exchange for your payment, and they will never require payment by retail gift card, cash, wire transfer, internet currency, or prepaid debit card, and they will never also send, or they will send official letters or reports containing personal identification information via email. Actually, they will not do that. If there ever is a problem with your Social Security number or record, in most cases, Social Security will mail you a letter. And if you do need to submit papers to Social Security, the agency will send a letter with instructions and payment options. You should never pay a government fee or fine using retail gift cards, cash, internet currency, wire transfers, or prepaid debit cards. The scammers ask for the payment that way because it's difficult to trace and very difficult to recover. Well, the Audubon County Sheriff's Office said Friday that 49-year-old Rodney Doss of Exira was cited Tuesday, January 5th, for driving while barred. Doss appeared before the magistrate on Thursday and was released on his own recognizance. The Page County Sheriff's Office yesterday said deputies responded Thursday to a domestic incident that took place at a residence in the 2400 block of 280th Street, or about a mile south of College Springs. During the investigation, 39-year-old Jackie Lynn Olson of rural College Springs was arrested for domestic abuse assault. Olson was transported to the Page County Jail, where she was held without bond until seen by a magistrate. And 40-year-old Travis Lamar Kellogg of Omaha was arrested Thursday in Page County following a traffic stop on Highway 59, about 4 miles north of Shenandoah. Kellogg was arrested on a Pott County warrant for probation violation. He was unable to post a $2,000 bond. Kellogg was turned over to Pott County deputies and then transported to the Pott County Jail. Shenandoah police assisted with his arrest. The Chief Justice of the Iowa Supreme Court has been elected by her colleagues to another term. Chief Justice Susan Christensen of Harlan was selected to continue in the role that she was first elected to following the retirement of Acting Chief Justice David Wiggins in February of 2020. Wiggins became acting Chief Justice following the death of Chief Justice Mark Cady in November of 2019. The justices take a vote on the Chief Justice during their first meeting in each odd-numbered year. Christensen released a statement saying, "After a very challenging first 10 months, I'm honored to continue to serve as Chief Justice of Iowa's court system." And the 3rd District Democrat Representative Cindy Axne's office reports that on Tuesday, January 5th, President Trump signed legislation authored by Axne to rename the U.S. Post Office in Clarinda in honor of Jesse Field Shambaugh, the former school superintendent from Page County and longtime Iowa educator, known to many as the mother of 4-H. With the president's signature, Clarinda's post office will now officially be designated the Jesse Field Shambaugh Post Office Building. Shambaugh began teaching in Page County in 1901 and formed the Boys Corn Club and Girls Home Club to teach students essential skills for farm and home through extracurricular activity programs. To boost participation in the club, she created a clover pin with each leaf labeled with an H. Her design became the symbol of 4-H in 1914 when the Smith-Lever Act established the Cooperative Extension System at the USDA, formalizing 4-H clubs around the country. Today, over 6 million schoolchildren participate in 4-H activities, learning life skills, leadership, and cooperation through the same values of head, hands, heart, and health that Shambaugh helped to pioneer over a century ago. Shambaugh was born in 1881 near Shenandoah. She died in 1971 in Clarinda. In 1977, Shambaugh was named to the Iowa Women's Hall of Fame. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Jean Held, age 89, of Fontenelle, died December 30th at the Adair County Hospital in Greenfield. Private, immediate family-only services for Jean Held will take place today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Jean's funeral service will be live-streamed on Emmanuel Lutheran's Facebook page. The Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Richard Lee Gregerson, age 63, of Walnut, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Richard Gregerson will be today at 11 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home has the arrangements. CDC guidelines will be observed and masks are required. Jenny Nino, age 89, of Adair, died January 4th at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Jenny Nino will be Monday at 2 o'clock at the Van Hoe Funeral Home in East Moline, Illinois. The funeral will be live-streamed on the Van Hoe Funeral Home Facebook page. Marilyn Reynolds, age 87, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Allen Place in Atlantic. A private family funeral service for Marilyn Reynolds will be held at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Helen Schmitz, age 97, of Atlantic, died January 4th at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Helen Schmitz will be at a later date, with the Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan assisting the family. Leo Devilbus, age 89, of Cumberland, died Saturday at his home, or rather January 4th at his home. A graveside service for Leo Devilbus will be at a later date. Les Hills Funeral Home in Carson is assisting the family. Georgie Goodvin, age 100, of Corning, died Friday at Corning Specialty Care. Private graveside services for Georgie Goodvin will be held at the Oakland Cemetery at Quincy in Corning. Pearson Family Funeral Service of Corning has the arrangements. Robin Henningsen, age 57, of Walnut, died Friday at Bergen Mercy Hospital in Omaha. Services for Robin Henningsen are pending at the Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland. Jerry Rosenbeck, age 76, of Exira, died Friday at the VA Medical Center in Omaha. Services for Jerry Rosenbeck are pending with the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. And Tim Sweeney, age 58, of Audubon and formerly of Messina, died Thursday at Iowa Lutheran Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Tim Sweeney are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.